You're listening to The B-Side, a podcast of Blessed Hope Community Church. Hey, this is Malia, your host as usual, and today I'm joined by my co-host, Pastor David.
Hello.
And you guys, we're going to be talking about the rapture today.
I know. Isn't it exciting?
Like, I need to have sound effects to like cue like clapping and applause and stuff.
Oh, okay. And today we're going to be talking like the when question.
Yeah.
We're going to get into the
that
big debate, right? When.
Yeah. How are you doing today?
I'm not doing bad. I like these days because it is sunny, but... I woke up this morning, it was cool, it was fresh, it was like, I hate when you wake up and it's like already, you're like, ugh.
Yeah.
It's like muggy and hot. And
yeah. Well, those days are coming.
I know. So yeah, you walk out this morning and it was like just crisp and kind of gives you that, energy.
I like that too. Anyways. I do too. I'm about to go on vacation.
Yeah.
Next week.
Congratulations.
I'm so excited. Man, I mean, who doesn't love to be away from work for a week, you know?
Well, why would you want to be away from
here? I'm going to be crying the whole time.
Yeah. What do we got? A few weeks till we go.
So yeah.
We'll head out.
Yeah.
We just got to get through school. That's all the girls and Amy are waiting for.
Yeah.
So.
Same. Yeah. Okay, so if you didn't already notice, I did not send you a podcast outline.
I know.
Because quite frankly, I just have so many questions and I didn't know how to like
formulate it.
And to put them in logical, like, I don't know. I kind of felt like my mind was all over the place. And so I was like, I don't even know. So
what we're saying,
I just didn't send you one.
Buckle up.
Yeah.
Because we're going all over.
Yeah. Pretty much. We're just going to go where God leads us. So my first question.
Yeah.
And hopefully this isn't like completely throw you off or not. But so you were talking about like pre-trib, mid-trib, and post-trib, right? Mm-hmm. So I've also heard the terms thrown around like pre-millennialism, millennialism, and like post-millennial.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also like I've seen like preterism. I've seen dispensationalist, premillennialism. What are all of those? Are those fancier names for
some
pre-trib and post-trib? Are they do pre, mid, and post-trib fall under one of those categories like premillennialism?
Some.
Like, can you kind of help my mind wrap? Like, it's so confusing with all the terms, and it's like, okay, which ones do I need to know? What do they mean?
Okay, so I'm going to give you the non-scholar answer.
That's what I want.
Okay.
Listen, I am not scholarly.
I'm going to say this with, I don't give a rip about all the terms.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, I mean, what it is, and I'm a non-scholar. I've read some of them. I've heard them. Mm-hmm. I know I can't sit here and say, well, this one's this, and this one's this, and this one's this.
Okay.
Because
do I need to do some homework? I don't want to do homework.
No, because here's my problem with them.
Okay.
Not that they're not interesting and important and not trying to say that, but they're all, so some of the stuff you're talking about, like millennial, when those are being used, those were amillennial. Those are usually more talking about when people think the millennial kingdom is going to be happening.
Okay.
So you have a lot of views. So you have some people that have the view that we're in the millennial kingdom now.
Right.
You have some that say there's never going to be a millennial kingdom.
That it's symbolic.
Yes, it's symbolic. You have others that say, you know, so a lot of that is just different doctrines trying to squeeze together how, wrapping your head around that.
Okay.
That's why I don't really care about the terms. And the other problem is you just named a bunch of them.
Yeah.
It's like, who's going to keep up with all that?
I was like so confused when I was like trying to research a little bit. I wanted to phone a friend and be like, help me, David.
And I would have looked at you and said, like, I need somebody to help me too. Because
That makes me feel better.
To me, they're just, they're very smart people that like to slap a term on something.
Sure.
And I'm not downgrading the idea. It's just, at the end of the day, I don't care. I mean, I hate to say
That's David's MO.
Well, I was, you know, it's one of those things
if David had a mantra, it'd be like, I don't care.
I don't care. Well, sorry. And to be honest, I think those a lot of that stuff, it makes, and I don't want to say, when I use the word average, I don't mm-hmm. want to like lessen a person. When I say the average Christian, right. they look at that and they're like, what does that matter?
Yeah, case in point. I'm so confused.
Yes, and it makes people reject the entire conversation.
Yeah, well, because it feels times. Like it's too much for...
Too much. Yeah. It's you're making me feel stupid.
Yes.
Because it makes me, when I'm reading it, yeah. sometimes like... Why are we making this so hard?
Right.
So when I talk about like, you know, post-trib, mid-trib, those to me are the, that's a an average conversation.
Okay.
You know.
So tell me about those.
So.
Just in non-scholarly language.
Those are just the primary three theories of when the rapture is going to happen.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
Right? They're not addressing the millennial kingdom per se. Gotcha. They're not. Now, you're going to have some of those.
Intertwined,
little bit.
Okay, because is it important when the millennial happens? Because it is connected.
Is it important? I think it's extremely rapture, important.
Right? Okay.
It's extremely important.
Okay.
But I'm going to take the Bible. See, here's what I find interesting when you start throwing around those terms, like sure. I'm an amillennialist. And, right, and when people say that, it's like, how can we just, let's just be biblical.
Yes. Right? Thank
let's just,
you.
Let's just take a basic view of what the Bible's telling
right.
us. And so when I read the Bible and you read mm-hmm. Revelation, of course, we haven't got this far yet.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible seems very clear in Revelation that there's going to be a tribulation, there's going to be a returning of Jesus, and then there's going to be a thousand-year reign, okay. the millennial kingdom, right? Yep. I'm going to just say I want to be biblical, and I'm just going to go with that. That yeah. we're not there yet. That is a right. literal thousand years that's going to happen, because then we are told what's going to happen afterwards. So the millennial kingdom's interesting, because mm-hmm. again, like I said, some people want to say we're in it now. And
sure.
It's like, no, I really we're not. If this is the yeah. reign of Christ right now, we're in trouble.
And like, there's a lot of the Bible, man, I tell you, it is so interesting to me. And like you think about things like the rapture, and you might have even alluded to this past Sunday or the Sunday before when you were starting to talk about it, but like the rapture, like that word doesn't even like appear in scripture.
Yeah, not in the Bible.
But at the same time, neither does the Trinity.
Nope.
But it's talked about an awful talked lot.
Yes.
So we can't completely discredit Mm-mm. the rapture Mm-mm. because there are some people that don't mm-hmm. believe that's the thing, right?
Yes, there are some. I didn't include it, but there is a no rapture camp.
Okay.
Those that say, yes. well, there is no rapture.
Okay. It's do you know why they think that? I'm just curious.
That one's not as prominent, so I haven't seen yeah. as much information yeah. about it.
I've just recently, because I sent you that video mm-hmm. about it, and I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Because I thought everybody was in on the rapture. Yeah.
Well, and then you, the term is leaving me. Dispensationalism. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that one.
Mm-hmm.
That okay. So that's a term. Probably the majority of us in the church today fall under that.
Is that right? The left behind?
Yes.
Okay.
But that form of the view of the end times really became prominent in the 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like it's the left behind is what started it. It was already there.
Right.
So most Christians today do really fall under that. But again, mm-hmm. my personal feeling is if you look at that view and then you look at how the Bible lays it out,
mm-hmm.
they fall in. I mean, I'm not trying to say that's biblical.
Sure.
But the timelines fit. It's like it's going in order of what John's or Jesus is showing us through John.
Mm-hmm.
So again, that's one that people probably have never heard the term, or a lot of people have heard the term, but that's where most of us
mm-hmm.
land.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rapture became a much more prominent doctrine maybe mm-hmm. through that than it maybe had in the past. But the issue, like I said on Sunday, the early church maybe never were using the word rapture, because right. that's where it came from, is right. kind of through that. But the church has always been teaching the imminent return of Christ.
Absolutely.
So it's yeah. see, it's kind of like the when somebody comes along and says, well, the word dinosaur is not in the Bible. It's like, well, yeah, because it's a modern term.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, don't, you know, so that's kind of the same with rapture.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I get it. You might not read old writings from hundreds of years ago of the church, and mm-hmm. you're never going to see the word rapture.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that the teaching's not there. It's just, it's more of a modern term in right. our thinking of time. So, yeah. Anyways.
So was there anything else? I feel like I maybe interrupted you, that you wanted to talk about as far as like pre, mid, and post-trib?
Well, I guess the biggest question, I mean, with the podcast, like right now, is, you know, how much people want to get into the support of those or the rejection of those.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so that's, you know, I don't know what all questions you have, but I know that's where most people, when they ever talk to me about the rapture, they're just like, support it.
Right. Yeah. Like, where do those come from in scripture?
So I'm going to walk through that if we want to walk through that.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Let's do it.
So I'm going to start with post, and then we'll do mid, and then I'll do pre, because like I said on Sunday, I'm a pre-trip.
See, I knew you'd be prepared. Right?
Somewhat.
that's why he gets paid the big bucks,
somewhat.
Guys.
Somewhat. So post-trib ultimately means, so again, trib being tribulation, 7-year period of God's judgment upon the earth. So I love the names because they're simple, right?
Yeah.
They're not fancy.
Yes.
Post-trib, meaning after the trib, right? So post-trib is simply that. They believe that the rapture is going to take place either at the end of the tribulation or after the tribulation. So basically that belief of that view is we as the church are going to go through the entire tribulation. That's the view. Mm-hmm. There are scripture references that kind of speak to that. So again, that's why I want to say in all of this, I'm not trying to say that I'm against them or any of that. There should be no division on any of these. Mm-hmm. There are scriptural places where it's like, okay, that I could see where that comes from. So with this one, most of the support of this comes from Jesus. When Jesus taught about the end time, so you're talking Matthew 24, I think Mark 13. Mm-hmm. There's sections where Jesus is talking about the gathering of the elect.
Yeah.
Like there's going to be a moment after all this in the gathering of the elect. In Revelation 13, even chapter 7, talking about the Antichrist, it talks about that he's going to have power over the saints. So there's a reference to saints in the tribulation period.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
So that's where that comes from, saying, sure. Well, of course, you know, then we must be going through it. So the post-trib believes there's a rapture, but they believe it happens pretty much immediately before Jesus comes back.
Oh,
so kind of like they're almost the same moment.
Sure.
Right? Like,
sure.
Yeah, Jesus is coming back, but before he physically steps foot on earth again, he's going to rapture us out, and then whatever happens, and then boom, he's here.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I share all this, I'm not going to give like, this is why you shouldn't believe it, but I'm going to express other views on why I don't fall under the post-trib.
Okay.
So Jesus, when he says about gathering the elect, right, at the end, in Zechariah, so Old Testament, is actually where we hear the first prophecy of the second coming of Christ. And it talks about Christ stepping down on the Mount of Olives, and it talks, you know, he's going to gather together all of the saints. Actually, I brought my Bible because I don't want to misrepresent anything. So it's actually Zechariah.
Yeah, I was going deep back into some Thessalonians Bible study a few years ago even. I was like really digging.
So it's Zechariah chapter 14, and it starts at verse 3. Well, the entire thing, it's the Lord comes and reigns. So this is talking about the second coming of Christ. So then the Lord will go out and fight against the nations that he fights in the day of battle. And on that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. So this is where this is where he's going to step down. This is not his first coming because, again, notice what it says. When he steps upon the Mount of Olives, it will be split in two from the east and the west, forming a great valley. So, I mean, it's going to be a massive moment when Jesus returns.
Yeah.
And then it says, then the Lord my God will come and all the holy ones with him. Okay, so now this is the point that's interesting. Go back to what I was sharing. I made reference to it in the sermon. The rapture is Jesus receiving his church to himself. The second coming is Jesus returning with the church. And again, the scriptural evidence of that. So this term gathering, right? Or when Jesus talks about he will gather all the saints to him or all the elect at this moment. I think, and again, this is me thinking, you know, this, I'm not going to sit here and say, I know for sure. But when you look at the language, when Jesus returns on the earth, his second coming, don't you think Jesus is going to want all of his believers there with him? Like
his posse?
Well, the saints from the tribulation.
His squad.
There will be people that come to faith during the tribulation.
Right.
Even if the rapture happens before, that's why we have the sealing of the 144,000. Yeah. We have them preaching the gospel. Like, people will come to know Christ in the tribulation. So if there are people still on the earth, so picture this. If second coming, Jesus is descending at the second coming, the Bible tells us that the church will be with him, riding on white horses. Like, we are coming to reign with him, right? So if we're coming with him, and he's going to physically step foot on one place on this earth, I mean, that's a big deal. Don't you think Jesus is going to be like, angels, go get my people.
Yeah.
I want them to see this.
Yeah.
They're going to gather together. The word gather that Jesus uses when he talks about in Mark and in Matthew that he will gather the elect, the angels will gather the elect. That word gather means to bring everyone to one place. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm trying to say. Like the language to me is I hear what Jesus is saying, but I still think it fits in the narrative of pre-trip.
Yeah.
Like he is gathering us, but he's gathered like the church is coming with him and tribulation saints are going to be gathered together. So we all witness the moment that Jesus returns. Hmm. That's my theory looking at the language and what he's saying. Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, that makes sense.
That's what I'm saying. It makes sense. But that's post-trip. That's why people kind of support that. If gathering of the elect and you know, there's going to be saints in the tribulation. I don't disagree with that. I just don't think it supports a post-trib thing. The other thing with post-trib is a lot of people say things like, it's foolish of us to think God will spare us from troubles and trials and tribulations. And I'll get to that because I think I agree with that, but not to a point that they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's mid-trib. Mid-trib is you have the 7-year tribulation and the rapture is going to happen right in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
So this one, a lot of the support for this one comes from one passage of scripture, from my understanding. It's found in Revelation 11. So you have the seal judgments, right? So anybody that doesn't know Revelation that well, when the judgment starts, there are 7 seals. 7 seals then move into 7 trumpets. The 7th trumpet is when they say the rapture is going to happen because the Bible talks about at the last trumpet, there will be this resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just basically linking the two together. See, there's a last trumpet. Those are going to go together. And again, I just don't think that's enough support for that. The other reason that people go with the mid-tribulation is Daniel. So Daniel's another place that goes perfectly along with Revelation. There's a lot in Daniel that shows us more of what Revelation is happening. And in Daniel, he talks about the Antichrist. And he says that the Antichrist is going to have dominion or he's going to have authority over the saints. Again, he's going to persecute the saints.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with 100%. Tribulation saints, not the church, tribulation. So again, if somebody believes in mid-trib, great. But again, that's one that I don't think there's enough evidence for it for me to go with it. Then the last one's pre-trib. Pre-trib being exactly what it says. It's going to happen before the tribulation. In fact, this belief is this is what's going to start the tribulation.
Right.
So I will be...
This is where you plant your flag.
This is where I plant my flag. But I want to be open about it because when I was younger, I planted my flag there because one, that's what I was always taught.
Right.
And two, it sounds a lot better. I mean, who doesn't want to be taken out of here, right?
Yeah.
But I have to say that as I've studied it deeper, I have reasons I believe it more than just... So that's what I'm trying to say. This one has the most support to me. So I'm going to go where I think the evidence points versus...
Yeah.
It just sounds good.
Right.
Right? So here's my evidence for it. First, I believe Revelation chapter 4 and 5, the image of John seeing heaven. Right. So this is the churches are done being talked to.
Mm-hmm.
John is raptured into heaven to see this moment.
Mm-hmm.
What we see happening in Revelation 4 and 5 is not what's happening in heaven 24 hours a day, even now. John is seeing an event in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm not saying that God's not being constantly worshiped in heaven by the angels, but we're not seeing, like, he's not getting a glimpse of this moment. He's seeing something in the future, this event where God the Father is being worshiped and Jesus takes the scroll and he opens it up and the judgment starts, right? So
that's
he's
just amazing,
seeing
isn't
it, right? Yeah,
that
I mean, it's
he
crazy.
He gets to, like, why him?
But see, this is what I think is cool about it. I think John, and I have more evidence in this, so this is more reading into scripture, but I believe John, in the language that's used and the way it happens, I believe John is a representation of the rapture.
Ooh.
I believe that we're going to see it too.
Ooh.
I believe that we as the church are going to be in that moment and see this beginning of the tribulation. One of the reasons is, one, because of John being raptured up there. I think John is a representation of all of the church being brought into the presence of God for this moment.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also this language in chapter 4 that talks about 24 elders before the throne. We're going to get into this on Sunday. So because that's the chapter we're in. But the 24 elders, there's speculation on who are those 24 elders. I'm not going to say that it's clear 100%, but here's what we do know. They're not angels. Okay? So this is a representation of humanity, right? Are these 24 specific people? No, I don't believe so. Some people like to say, "Well, that's the apostles and that's the No. It's God uses symbolism to represent the entirety of something. So those 24 elders, in my opinion, are a representation of all of humanity, all of God's people, right? The number 24, again, numbers have power or meaning in the Bible.
Huge.
The number 24 is actually a number from the Old Testament that there were 24 divisions of the priestly rotation. So I think there's a New Testament and an Old Testament connection there. So
always, there always is.
So that's why I think that 24 represents the faithful Old Testament saints and the New Testament church brought together before God. Like, so I think that's a representation of us before God. The other reason I don't think the reason I think it's the entirety of all of us after the rapture is because, again, it's using numbers of completion, right? It's not like saying there was a great multitude, or, you know, John could have said that. There was a great multitude. He's using words that speak of completion. This is the entirety of this people. That's how I view it. That's how I think it makes sense. So I think the church is represented, right, in the presence of God in that moment. So that's one of the reasons I believe in that. The other reason I believe because of Revelation is because nowhere is the church mentioned from chapter 4 until the end of Revelation. The church is never mentioned again. Like, we're not mentioned at all in the entire of the church. Saints are mentioned, but not the church, not the bride, not the language used to describe the church is never used in the entirety of Revelation after chapter 3. And if you remember, Jesus told John, he had three responsibilities in the beginning of the book of Revelation. He says, I want you to write what you see, I want you to write what is, and I want you to write what is to come. Chapter 1 is he wrote what he saw, the vision of Jesus. Chapters 2 and 3 is the church. Chapter 4 on
is what is to come.
Is what is to come, and the church is not part of it. Okay?
Interesting.
With that same train of thought, when you read Revelation, right? The church age is done. God returns his focus. He's dealing with Israel again. Revelation is about God dealing with he's dealing with like all of humanity, but he's focusing once again on Israel. That's why you have like the selection of the 144,000. That's why everything's centered on Jerusalem. That's why everything. So like God's attend, like the church age is done. Like we've served our purpose. We're raptured out. And then God actually goes back. So there's actually a scripture that's interesting about this because it's in Daniel. Daniel is where we get our, where we get the vision or the understanding of the 7 years of the tribulation. It's actually in Daniel chapter 9, is where we get the 77s. So he's given a vision by God. He's shown by God there's going to be these 77s. The sevens all represent 7 year periods of time. Okay. So basically 77 year periods. Gets wonky if you don't like doing math.
Yeah.
Okay.
Math is hard.
So in the 77s, God gives Daniel his timetable on, you got to remember they're in exile now. The Jews are in exile. He gives Daniel the timetable of how long they're going to be in exile, and he gives him the timetable of how long it's going to be until the Messiah comes. Okay, so God actually told in the Old Testament how long it's going to be until the, how many years until the Messiah comes. But there was one seven left out. There's like, they took one and like they held it over and said, that's a future seven.
Fun. Okay,
that's the 7 year tribulation, right? So, but here's what's interesting about it. This is what Daniel, or God says to Daniel. He says, 77s are decreed. Okay, so here's the 77s. Notice what God says. For your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy one. Here's the point that's why I say this. The church age is now. But when the last seven comes, God's telling us these 77s is about my people. This is about Israel. This is where God's like, I'm faithful to my covenant to Israel, to the holy city, to Jerusalem. So this is where it gets thrown into our thinking as Christians, because you have some Christians that like to say, like, oh, the church, we've replaced Israel. We haven't replaced Israel. There are those that try to think that God is done with Israel. God is never done with Israel. And so when you look at the tribulation, this is actually God fulfilling his promises to Israel. The 77s are God saying, these periods of time is when I'm focusing on my people, Israel. So I believe that the tribulation, again, is God focusing, refocusing his attention to Israel, and the church age is done. And so here's those are my some of the they're not spoken to directly from Scripture, but then there's also passages of Scripture that I use as evidence also. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 through chapter 5 verse 9. This is where Paul's telling us about the about the rapture. At the end of his teaching of the rapture, notice what Paul says. Paul says that God has appointed us not to suffer wrath, but to receive righteousness. So I believe he's telling us that we don't have to go through God's wrath. Connected to the rapture, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, we've already gone through it. One of the promises to the church of Philadelphia, which was the faithful church. Those of you that remember, Philadelphia was one of the churches. It was the only church that had no condemnation. It was the faithful ones. The promise that Jesus gave to them is that I will keep you from the hour of trial coming upon the earth. He didn't say I'd keep you through it. He says I will keep you from it. So there's another promise from Scripture that I think that's Jesus saying, you don't, you won't have to go through this wrath. My last evidence is for me is I go back to the character of God. Remember, I preached the first sermon that the rapture is him coming to receive his bride. What kind of a bridegroom would make his bride go through his wrath?
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't fit with his character. Well, I mean, I know
some. No, I'm just kidding.
Bad ones.
Yeah.
Bad ones. But if the rapture fits into the story of receiving his bride, I believe that he will keep us from wrath. Now, here's the point that we have to clarify. Just because we're the bride of Christ doesn't mean that we don't have to go through suffering. But there's a difference between suffering for Christ and suffering by the hand of Christ.
Ooh, yeah.
And the tribulation is the world suffering at the hand of Christ.
Right.
Not suffering for. So that's why I don't, it doesn't fit with
the
character.
That's a really good distinction
to make. I mean, yeah, we're going to suffer in life.
Right.
But we're not suffering by the hand of Christ.
Okay. Oh, that's good.
And the tribulation is him pouring wrath out on the earth.
Yeah.
And my last one's not biblical per se. I mean, I say
this. This is just extra credit, you guys.
This is just extra. The biggest reason that, not the biggest, other than biblical references or biblical things. The rapture is the only thing in my mind that makes sense, that sets the world in such turmoil that allows an Antichrist to enter into the picture.
Okay.
I mean, I can't think of anything else other than nuclear war. What would happen? I mean, you think about our country right now. What would happen that would cause our country, like the everybody in our nation, to say, yes, we will give control to a foreign person?
Right.
Like, but you think about the rapture. When the rapture happens, it's going to be absolute chaos. The death tolls are going to go crazy. Like commerce is going to, like every, the stock markets, they're going to crash. Transportation's over. Famine, all the things. And then you look at the first seals of the tribulation, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, right? The first one's the Antichrist. The next one you have, like, you have war, conflict, you have famine, you have pestilence. All of that's going to happen because of a global rapture. Because dead bodies, I mean, I hate to be morbid, but you think about all the people that are going to die instantly in the rapture because of the crashes and, you know, plane crashes, automobile crashes, the, and then we're not going to have the systems to be able to, so there's going to be, man, I hate to be morbid, but there's going to be rotting bodies.
Yeah.
And that's going to cause pestilence. That's going to cause sickness. There's going to be famine. There's going to be, and then some guy's going to come along and say, I can fix it.
Ooh, yeah. Some smooth talker.
Yeah, I can make it better. Peace, right? He's going to, you know, conflict, war. I mean, this is one of the reasons I love the show The Walking Dead, right? Not necessarily because of the zombies, but it shows the reality of human beings in catastrophe.
Yeah, kind of Lord of the Flies.
Yeah.
In a way.
Very much so, right? Human. So you think about a global rapture happens.
That's for the boomers.
And the
that was that.
Those that,
that reference was for the boomers.
When you think about a global rapture and the chaos that's going to ensue, and what, of course, conflict's going to be the next thing.
Yeah.
Nation's going to start going against nation, neighborhood against neighborhood, neighbor against neighbor. You God, I need, I'm starving. I'm going to take your food.
A little conflict. Purge. Little
purge-esque,
if you've seen those movies. Pretty much.
There's, people are writing these down. Lord of the Flies.
Don't. This is. I'm not condoning the these Walking movies. Walking Dead. I was just trying to think of like references because I know like we know The Walking Dead, but does everybody know The Walking Dead? Yeah. Like,
well, anybody that doesn't, zombies. Yeah. And the world goes horribly wrong.
Yeah.
But that's the other reason the pre-trib makes the most sense to me, biblically, but then also. Just when you think about how humankind works, like no way is most nations around the world going to give control to
another foreigner. Sure.
Unless there's a really good reason. And there's, those are the only two I can think of, either a rapture or again, nuclear war, but nuclear war, that would have to be so like, that would have to be in, like that would have to be encompassed. The entire planet for the entire planet too. This wouldn't just be an isolated like, oh, this one country got hit with a bomb. That would have to be everybody because the Bible tells us everybody falls under, you know. So I think the most evidence is there for pre-trib. I think scripturally, when you look at how God deals with things, when you look at what's laid out in front of us, I just think pre-trib makes the most sense. Plus, I don't want to be here. I'm just, I'm going to throw that out there.
I mean, I mean,
why would I not?
You're not alone, probably. No. Thought. Who would want to? Okay, so let's
quickly.
That was
a lot, though. That was a lot.
Yes. So let's quickly transition to the First Thessalonians passage that you used primarily this past Sunday. And what is it? Chapter 4, verses 13 through what? Like 17 or 18?
Something like that. It actually goes, honestly, that whole thing goes into 5 too, but yeah, we just looked at 13 through 18.
So let's kind of go to that because that's where a lot of that is that the main text that people would go to as far as like saying like here's the evidence that a rapture is going to happen.
Yes, that and First that's Corinthians the primary, 15.
Okay. So in like some of my digging in some of the commentaries that I had, and it was talking specifically about this too, but that like the Bible doesn't actually teach like a secret or a silent rapture, kind of like so like what we saw in the, when we say left behind, we're talking about like the movies and the books. Check those out, they're just gold, guys.
They are great books.
But so what we saw in Left Behind, where like people's clothes were left behind, like is not necessarily what scripture teaches.
No.
Because like the First Thessalonians says there's a great shout, a trumpet sound, an archangel, and from what we know of angels in the Bible, they bring fear because they're crazy looking too. But so it's like a big shebang, like this is going to be a public event.
Yeah.
Like people aren't going to not notice this, right?
See, that's what's interesting about it, because my answer to that is I really don't know.
Okay.
I mean, could it be a very public moment? Because again, this is where the tension rises, where the second coming and those getting mixed, because the Bible talks about the world will look upon the Son of Man coming in glory. Well, is that talking about the rapture or is that talking about his second coming? Then that's why you have people that say they're the same thing. Again, those are one of those I ultimately don't know. There's another passage, and I was trying to look at, I think it's in 2 Thessalonians.
Okay.
Where it talks about, this is where, maybe it's even in 1 Corinthians. I don't remember. But this, the Bible does have another passage where it talks about two women will be working in a field and one will be gone.
Right.
So that is in scripture.
Yeah,
this idea of there's going to be two people, one's gone. Right? So that's where that imagery comes from of, we're here and then one of them's gone and taken. Again, I don't know, right? I don't. Does the trumpet mean that the world is going to hear the trumpet? Does that mean we're going to see I honestly don't know.
Yeah. Okay. So these are some of the questions that go through my head, like reading this First Thessalonians. I know we don't have the answers to these, but this is why I was like, I don't even have an outline for you because this is where my head's at. So I just like jotted some down because they're kind of ridiculous.
Well, here's what I will say real fast though about like whether the trumpet is heard, the angels are seen, and Jesus is seen at the rapture. Because some of us as Christians would hear that and say, how then would somebody not believe?
Right.
But even in Revelation, it talks about how the judgments of God will descend upon the earth and men will still curse God.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So again, we have to understand that in our brains, we're like, how would that not right. cause somebody?
Right. Well, it's like we look back at the Old Testament and think, yeah. these dummies, yeah. right? They just keep doing yeah. stupid over and over. But then we do it all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah. It looks different.
Because the rapture, even if the trumpet yeah. is heard and Jesus is seen, mm-hmm. the rapture is not going to go unnoticed. Millions of people are going to be gone.
Right.
And
right.
still people are going to reject
that's
Jesus.
Fair. That's fair.
Okay. And that's even with the Left Behind books out there.
We need to have like a worldwide viewing showing of Left Behind. Okay, so these are my crazy questions. Okay, will the cry and the shout and the trumpet all be simultaneous? Who will be able to hear all these noises? Like, can everyone hear them? Is it just believers that are going to be able to hear them? Does the noise make the dead rise, or is it just an announcement that Jesus is coming back? Will we float up in the air to meet Jesus, or will we just like poof, be gone? You know, causing confusion to everyone around us. Or like, how long are we floating up there? Like, is this like a long thing? Like, these are the crazy questions. Like, it's just, yeah. So that's why I didn't put these in an outline. Cause I was like David's going to be like, what?
I want details.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I know that scripture does not tell us these things. And I know like at the end of the day, they do not matter. But I just know like, I can't be the only one. Things like, wow, how is this really going to go down?
100%,
you know what I mean? You know? But I know, like, basically, Paul is like just trying to assure these believers in Thessalonica that like death does not have the last word. Yes. One day we're, because he's really telling them what's going to happen to their loved ones that have already passed, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. In context here, and so like we're all going to be reunited. Yeah. It's going to be okay.
Jesus is still in control.
Yes.
That's all good. It was kind of like when I did questions with the pastor at youth group. I mean, mm-hmm. I got the question, hey, I watched this movie and they left their clothes. Are we going to be naked?
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
That's so legit. That's and I never thought question. About it until you shared that with me. And I was like, oh, that's like my worst nightmare.
You know.
Listen, I did not grow up in a naked household.
Here's one of the things that I love about. So one of the questions that can be answered, though, is are we going to hear Jesus? I believe that we, the church, will hear Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And here's why. Because it says in 1 Thessalonians that the first thing, like, he will come down from heaven with a loud command.
Yeah.
Jesus is the one that's going to command the dead to rise.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is
it just like makes the hairs on the back of my neck like
I mean, I heard a great teaching that I just thought was amazing with this. They said, you remember when Jesus resurrected Lazarus?
Uh-huh.
When Jesus stood before the grave, he was probably in a graveyard, mm-hmm. and Jesus yelled out, Lazarus, come forth. And the preacher said he had to say Lazarus, because if he just would have said, come forth, they all would have.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think and I was like, that's
too.
A cool thought,
uh-huh.
right? Like, because he was saying the power of Christ mm-hmm. over death.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, you know, when you think of that, the dead's only going to rise, not because the angels come down and the trumpet was sound. No, they're mm-hmm. going to rise because
Jesus
says,
said so. Yeah.
Come forth.
Yeah.
Right? So when it all comes
that's
down,
incredible.
I mean, that's the key there. We get all, you know, like, what's the angel going to do? And what's this going to be like? It's like, it all is centered on Jesus showing up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another image. It's like, if this didn't fit with the image of the bride,
mm-hmm.
Jesus wouldn't be the one coming. He just would have sent his, like, angels, mm-hmm. go get them.
Yeah.
You know, and that's another reason why I go back to that when it talks about, like, he's going to send his angels out to gather the elect. I think, again, that's the second coming. Mm-hmm. He's physically coming, and he's like, guys, go get my people. Like, bring them here. Like, go bring them here. So that's why I don't think it's the same thing, because the rapture, it's Jesus showing up
mm-hmm.
and gathering us to himself,
mm-hmm.
just like the bride. So, and I think it's going to be very quick. I don't think we're going to float up.
Okay. That's good to know.
I think it's going
to
be
it's a more of a poof thing.
Well, because that's another 1 Corinthians.
Like, are
about,
we going to be able to look around and watch all the other people floating up in the air?
Well, I don't even know if it'll be floating because that's another 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when it talks about the dead in Christ, the resurrection of the dead. It says in a twinkling of an eye.
Mm.
The twinkling of an eye is not a blink.
Right.
The twinkle of an eye is the amount of time it takes for the light to reflect off an eye.
Okay.
That fast. Boom. In the twinkle of an eye.
I like that.
It's done.
I like that.
So it's not going to be this creepy, like, coffins are slowly opening.
I was just thinking about, like, you know, the movies where, I don't know what action movies they are, but it's where they go and, like, have to, like, wake the dead up and ask them questions, you know, to, like, help them solve whatever their quest is or whatever. Yeah, it's going to be way cooler than that.
It's going to be way cooler than that.
And we're not going to be these dusty corpses.
No, and that's another thing, that because there's that question some people have of, will we know each other in heaven?
Yeah.
100%, because he's going to be taking our physical. Like, again, I don't know how he glorifies these bodies, All I know is the Bible is clear. They will be perfect.
Yeah.
They will be perfect.
I always wondered, but like, what does perfect mean biblically then? You know, like, maybe we're already perfect just that's the way we are. And we're going to be like... I used to be like, oh, we're all going to be like super smoking hot. And then, you know, you've heard like that, like Adam and Eve were like the the ultimate age or the right. Yeah, you know what I mean? So we're going to be like in this like certain of what we were in that time period of our lives or whatever. So, I mean, I don't know. No. But maybe we just have a wrong view here of our bodies. Well, you know?
100%, because the Bible tells us. The Bible doesn't tell us what Jesus looked like, but it does say, so this idea of smoking hot.
Yeah, he wasn't anything
was
to look
nothing,
at.
Yeah, it says there was nothing about his appearance that drew people to him.
Right.
You know, and so, you're still going to be you.
Yeah.
The other thing I love about the idea of our physical bodies being raised is it shows the power of the gospel. Yeah. Jesus saves us entirely, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. Like, and I love the idea, because I think a lot of people have this idea of heaven as like, we're these spiritual beings, and a brand new body. And it's like, no, his atonement was, he created these bodies. He's not going to waste them.
But that's going to be when he comes back. That's not going to be when we just die tomorrow. We don't get our new bodies until.
Yes. I don't know.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify.
I don't know what form we take with that.
Right.
But we alluded to that a little bit. This is why I don't believe in soul sleep. Yeah. I don't believe that there's a teaching of that we're just in this status, like we're in we're in cryo sleep.
No, we're immediately
in the presence of God,
which is so comforting. So comforting.
And those that do believe in soul sleep would say, well, yeah, but we're sleeping, we're in the presence of God sleeping. But it's like, yeah, but the language being used is there's consciousness to it. And my big one with that with scripture is what I said on Sunday. Jesus tells us what the afterlife looked like with Lazarus and the rich man. They were conscious.
Yeah.
They knew what was going on. They remembered one another. The rich man knew who Lazarus was. He remembered his brothers. So Jesus told us that after this life, we're in a conscious state.
Yeah.
We're not sleeping somewhere.
Well, and you alluded on Sunday to cremation.
Yeah.
And I had actually heard a teaching years ago from, I think it was like David Platt. It was in his Secret Church series that he used to do. And he had talked about how he didn't think it was biblical to be cremated and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, like I never had thought about that. But then again, I think like, what about believers that are blown up in explosions?
Yeah.
Or, you know,
their bodies put out
to
sea.
Yeah. Like, God can do anything with that. So why would that change with cremation?
It doesn't.
So, I just thought that was kind of interesting.
I just think that's an ancient thought.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you go back
like
to
I can see the thought process with it, but it falls apart when you think about.
Which shows you that even the church, again, going back to, did the church believe in the rapture? 100%. You go back to the Middle Ages, that's when the church really taught against, like, it was evil to burn a body.
Oh, really?
There were times in church, you can look back in history where it's like, the church was like, it is evil to burn a body. That's why you go back to when sicknesses would, and they'd be like, no, we got to burn these bodies.
Right.
And there was this tension of like, no, we can't do that, because then there won't be there anything. They won't be there for the resurrection.
Oh, that's interesting.
They won't, you know, their bodies won't be there. So that thought has been in history before. But God is powerful enough.
Yeah.
That he can. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't worry about that.
I think that's the end of like my immediate questions right now.
Like nobody can answer.
Yeah. Yeah. Was there anything else you wanted to add?
I just want to keep reiterating the topic of this is important, but it should never be causing division.
Right.
It should never be
the end all be all.
Yes. Yeah. This is so secondary. Not saying it's not extremely important. But then on the flip side of that, I also want to speak to people that try to avoid these topics. we need to knock that off too, because it is important, because God, it's in the Bible.
Ooh,
it's part of what God gave us.
Preach.
So we kind of have that tension between the two. We don't have to make it so important that it causes division, or like, you're wrong, I'm right, and we can't agree. But at the same time, we can't just throw our hands up and say, well, what do I care? It's, why would God include it if we weren't supposed to?
Right.
So, in fact, I think the rapture, Paul talks about it as, I'm going to tell you a mystery. And what I love about that word is it's the same thing of him saying, hey, let me tell you a secret. And everybody in the world, when you hear that, you're like, ooh, I want to hear a secret.
Yeah, I like secrets.
So I think when Paul says that, we should see it that way too. Don't avoid these truths. Wrestle with them. Even going back to the mid, post, or pre, I'm not saying what you should believe or, you know, any of that, but wrestle with it. Have a reason.
Yeah.
I asked
the elders. Dig into some commentaries.
Well, like, yeah, I've asked the elders in the last couple months. I've asked quite a few people just in common conversation out of nowhere. I'll look at them and say, hey, post-mid or trib, or pre-trib. And they'll look at me as like, "What? Which one?" And then they'll tell me and I say, why?
Yeah.
And they'll kind of look at me. And I love some of the answers. It's like, I don't know. Well, one of them was like, well, to be honest, left behind. Good starting point.
Good biblical starting point.
You know? But wrestle with it.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Kirk Cameron was very persuasive.
Well, he was. Listen, I read those books. When I was reading them, I was all about, like, I got to get a secret bunker. Like, I got to build a place.
That's right up your alley. It was. With all your space food.
Yeah. It was. Listen,
I'm surprised you don't have one. I was like, I'm surprised you don't have one.
Not gonna say if I do.
All right. Well, this has been interesting to say the least. I like still have 5 million questions probably, but like I think what's really comforting when it's all said and done is, like you said, a lot of those little things they matter, but they don't matter.
Yeah.
And so we just need to remember that Jesus is coming back. Yeah. And if we're in Christ,
exactly.
We're good. It's
The details, really, just be excited you were included.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's
like, who cares about the details? Those little might, you know, like,
yeah.
Am I floating for 5 minutes? am I just wading in the air?
Yeah.
Waiting?
Do
am
I need I, to work on my like floating like technique? And
my thing is am I going to, I'm scared of heights. So how's that going to happen?
You know, same. Like, I never even, David, I never even thought about that part.
Just saying.
Oh. Man, a whole new level of anxiety just unlocked.
So if you're floating up slow, imagine like the tension of that.
Yeah. Okay. We're not going to talk about that. But I'm excited to continue on. So we've got two more weeks in Revelation. Then we're hitting pause.
We're going to hit a pause. We're going to take a break.
For summer a little bit. Yep. And then we'll be back this fall.
Yes.
With
the second
part of Revelation.
Yes. The stuff that I think most people were excited about. Like when you say Revelation, they want to get into the.
Yeah. They don't want to hear about these churches. Yes.
They're like, let's get into this end stuff.
Yeah.
And like, what's that going to look like? And
So no, it'll be good. I'm excited for it. And thanks for listening.